think one of the things you said about being able to read it out loud will take some of the clunkiness out of the writing, because if you're reading it out loud and you're reading a dialogue and you don't feel comfortable saying it, then why would you write it?
Welcome to Literary Gumbo 2.0. This is the reboot of a video program I co-produced between 2010 and 2017. I'm your host, Lisa Angle, the right angle to help you write and sell your story. Each episode explores the world of writing, publishing, and book marketing. Sit back and enjoy.
I'm here today with an actor, an audiobook narrator. Actually, he even narrated my novel, Whiskey and Old Stogies. I believe I referred to him as a nice Southern boy. Welcome, Ray Cole.
Hello.
Hi. I've been at a writer's conference here recently, and a literary agent said that audiobooks are presently the most popular segment in publishing. So I'm sure our listeners are wanting to hear about this phenomenon. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got into acting and narrating and what kind of books you've narrated?
Let's see. That's a couple part question here. I got into acting pretty young. I guess, a couple of teachers were like, well, there's that rambunctious kid. Let's go give him some parts to play so that he has kind of an outlet for his energy. So I acted in plays in junior high and high school and went to college to study acting. And then once we had a mutual parting of the ways, I lived in Chicago for a little bit and did some theater there, and then kind of stopped, had to make some money. And then after about 10 years of working in irrigation, 10 years of working irrigation at a golf course, I discovered ACX, the audiobook creation exchange.
Amazon's arm of audiobooks.
Exactly. Amazon's arm of audiobooks. And I took a Weekend Warrior voiceover master class, as they call it, with Such a Voice. I spent about 7 or 8 years just kind of using audiobooks as a hobby and trying to work on voiceover and trying to figure out really kind of what I wanted, if I wanted it. And then I took about a six, seven week coaching class with Carol Monda, who's really wonderful. And she really gave me the confidence to be able to do audiobooks and any kind of voice acting full time. So that's kind of how I started, kind of a little bit of my background.
So what kind of books do you narrate? What are your favorite books to narrate?
Well, my favorite books to narrate are mysteries. I like historical fiction, Whiskey and Old Stogies. That was a lot of fun. I'm sure we'll talk about that later. I also narrate a lot of religious books. My dad is a retired Episcopal priest, and my brother is also an Episcopal priest, so it kind of runs in the family. So I narrate a lot of religious stuff.
Yeah. Well, I know that for my book, you did quite a lot of different kinds of voices, which I was very impressed with. And so how do you come up with what kind of voice you're going to use for a character?
Well, in the case of your book, most of the characters came from either people that I knew, I'm trying to think of names right now. Good Lord. Jolene's best friend. She was kind of a friend of mine, from Savannah, Georgia. So that's kind of where I got that, Southern voice from. But for the main character, I YouTubed, honestly, I YouTubed Appalachian, Moonshiners. And there was this guy that got interviewed in North Carolina. His name was Popcorn, and he just had the most incredible voice. And so I just lifted it off of YouTube and just worked with it for a while, until I had something that sounded good and that I could kind of age as I went along. Because
you did a really good job with that.
Well, I appreciate that. Because, you know, what is it? Goes from 1920 to about 1960, I think.
Yeah. 1950. Yeah.
1950. Okay. Yeah. So I figure there's 30 years in that. So kind of had to. And you also said Jolene just had to be neutral. So I was like, well, what's better neutral than just someone talks like this the entire time? So
how do you, though, in general, how do you go about preparing to narrate a book when somebody says, hires you to narrate a book? What's your process?
Well, first you got to read it. Especially when it's got either a fiction or something that's not kind of straightforward narration, like a how-to book or something like that. You really need to read it. I read it. I took copious notes on each character to kind of try to give me a sense of who these people are and what their journeys are. Like Little Joe starts out naive and just a really kind of a fun, wants to have a good time character, and, you know, ends up, as they said, with the moonshiner sickness. And so you just write out little ideas about how that's going to be. And then you do the performance, you check with the author, make sure that they're happy with it. And then I try not to do extensive re-records, but sometimes when you're listening to playback, you'll get to a section where you're like, oh, I didn't hit that the way that's supposed to be hit. Or, oh, wow, that was really good, but if I tweak this a little bit, this would sound so much better. So that's kind of that's kind of my process right now. I mean, it's still an evolution. I know there are a lot of authors narrators out there that they don't even prep books anymore. They're so busy that they outsource it. They outsource it and get a good like 8 to 10 page outline, and then they go in and they do their narration.
So how would they outsource this? Are there companies that specialize in that kind of thing of doing?
There's a company called VA for VO, which does a virtual assistance for voiceover actors. And so you can outsource it to them. You may know somebody in the industry that's what they do. They do, I don't want to say it's kind of like a copywriter, I guess, that reads through everything and gives bullet points or whatever. I don't know anything about the publishing industry, so I may be using that term wrong.
Well, I know that when I record these podcasts, I use Brain, and they will give me not just a recording of the Zoom interview, but also kind of, I guess through AI, they develop a kind of a bulleted point list of important points from the transcript.
Well, that's cool.
So it's really interesting how much AI is now being used for some of these things. I think some of it I've heard some AI narration, and it just bugs the heck out of me. I bet it does that even more to you.
Oh yeah. Well, there's no nuance. You know, I heard a AI recording that they used Kevin Conroy. They used his voice as Batman for some kind of PSA, but it was so flat, and he was such a good voice actor that listening to it, you just like, this is almost a disservice to the man, because you're taking his voice and just flattening it out, where he had such amazing nuance to what he did. And so yeah, so AI used that way is kind of just irritating, for lack of a better word.
And from what I and from the people in publishing that I've talked to, they've said that that's part of the they are even putting this into the contracts for authors now, that they that the author says no way will an AI narrate the audiobook.
Oh, that's great. Because I also know that NAVA, the National Association of Voice Actors, they've created a rider for voice actors, so that they give to their clients that says, you cannot use my voice without my permission, and you cannot use my voice for AI, because that's been happening a few times, or actually probably more so than it used to. There was a case a couple years ago, Bev Standing, I want to say her name was, heard her voice being used on Spotify for a spot she never did. And so she fought and she won. So that was awesome.
Yes. Well, and that's, you know, and I tell authors that I work with to help them refine their stories that there's benefit to having turn word on so that it will read it to you. You write a chapter and then you can listen to how word will read it to you. And that's one way of listening to your own writing. But then also, even for people who are thinking about doing their own audiobook narration, if they ever get published, or even if they're not, it's good to kind of try to read it out loud and record it as if they are narrating their own audiobook, because in that way they can try to do like what you're talking about as far as getting the characters in there and making all the characters sound different. Because I know with a lot of first-time writers or writers that are just kind of learning the craft, a lot of the characters in fiction writing, a lot of the characters, even memoir, a lot of the characters will sound alike.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is really important to get into the characters. And have you ever run across books? I know you do nonfiction too, but have you ever seen that in fiction where it's really hard to, you know, differentiate between the characters?
Yeah, I did a YA novel some years ago that all the characters were pretty one note. I mean, you know, I think one of the things you said about being able to read it out loud will take some of the clunkiness out of the writing, because if you're reading it out loud and you're reading a dialogue and you don't feel comfortable saying it, then why would you write it? And that was kind of one of those things that I dealt with in this book. I don't want to say the name, but was that it was a lot of clunky writing that you kind of had to just work over, and everybody was kind of one note. Oh, you've got to do this. You've got to do this. This is how you're going to be. And so I think it's really important for authors to read their novels out loud or have something read out loud, just to give them a sense of what they're trying to say. Cause I know I've tried to write before and I forget about it. I'm much better interpreter than I am a writer.
Well, you do the character development well. So that's good. That's one of the things that fiction writers have to learn. But what I'm curious about is, do you do a script, or I think I talked to a narrator once who said she does, she marks each character in a different color so she knows when, who's who?
Yeah, I do that occasionally. When it's a lot of dialogue that doesn't have the names attached to it, I do most of my reading off a computer screen, which most of us do. But you know, you can with Word, there are places that you can annotate on the side, and I think there's a similar program with Apple, but I'm not an Apple guy, which I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people go, but, you know. What are you going to do?
There's benefits to all platforms.
I agree. I've always just been Microsoft and Android. So I figure it works for me. So why change it? But, you know, I also have a spiral notebook that I have that I keep a lot of notes in. So I can follow along with the story and have some annotations and then some underlining. But a lot of it is just the prep work into the character, you know, like Rufus, you know, you're taking a kid that had a lot of baggage that he walked in with. But you don't want to give that away. So you develop it along the time. And as he got older, he was able to face it more. And so you bring that out in him, but yet because he was uneducated, he always had that kind of side to him that, at least for me, was that innocent, even though he was, you know, caught up in a whole lot of stuff. So and all that stuff I wrote out.
That's good. Yeah, that's great. So, and you mentioned that you do, YouTube. Do you use any other resources for researching when you're developing characters?
Well, you know, I like to get a sense of the time period. So I'll read, you know, I'll Google search, or if I've got a book on the time period, I'll go research it back. You know, I didn't know anything about making moonshine other than what I saw on, you know, MASH. So I did a little research on that too, just about how they do it. I mean, I've had some moonshine before, so I know the effects of it, but I never knew how it was made. So, you know, knowing all that stuff kind of helps going in. I mean, the more you can inform yourself on who you're going to be, the better off you are.
So, I mean, I know we want people to hire you to do narration. But if there are, say there's people who want to do their own audio narration, do you have any tips for them?
Find a quiet room, you know, trick it out as much as you can to keep the sound levels low, because it's not hard to hear background noise. It's just not like. My room is still a work in progress. Some of the other tricks is, you know your characters. And if you really want to narrate your book, make sure that you take some, go to YouTube and look up, tongue twisters. Just because there are so many people that can get on there. And I mean, you know, I love Stephen King, but I listen to him narrate Needful Things. And not only are you listening to the main accent, but he's also Yeah, he's also got a nasal thing going on that you just hear all the time. And so if you can do the tongue twisters and you can make sure that you're not taking any dairy before you start talking, and if you're hydrate also. I drink about 2 of these a day. That's about 4 liters. So hydrate, because then you won't have all these crackling noises in the background that's coming from your mouth. So those are those main suggestions. But really, you know your characters. That's a big one.
I know one author I talked to who narrates his own audiobooks. He said one trouble he had was his microphone was so good that it picked up his stomach growling if he was hungry.
Yeah. I've had that a few times. There's a couple times where, my wife sells houses, and there'll be a couple times where she'll walk by the door, which I need to put a much nicer door on the studio, so it won't happen, but I'll hear her talk about the house that she's about to sell or something like that. So you gotta do a little more re-recording on that.
So. Well, it's been so nice talking to you. Do you have any final words of advice or anything?
Final words of advice? No. Final sales plug: buy whiskey and Old Stogies, either in paper form or on audiobook. And either way, please leave a review.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Oh, well, though I did, do you have a preference between the ACX or Findaway Voices?
I find a lot of more auditions on ACX than I do on Findaway. Findaway is one of those ones where they find you and give you an audition, whereas, as Johnny Heller famously said, ACX is like Tinder for audiobook narrators. They just put people together and you can move on. And then you move on from there. I mean, I love the story of how I got Whiskey and Old Stogies, which is I sent you a birthday message and you were like, you're still alive?
Because there's another Ray who did voiceovers that I had found on Facebook, because I actually found you through when you were doing I can't remember the website.
Script to Audio or something like that. Yeah. Yeah, that was a cool little website that I was kind of on there for a minute. I actually did. I hooked up with a guy named Will Lewis, and we did about 6 audio plays together before that kind of fell apart. Which was unfortunate.
Yeah. The platform didn't make it, but you did I did put the first page up there, and you were one of the couple of people who sent in the, I don't know what they called them, but an audio clip for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I want to flag this guy so that if I do go to look for an audiobook narrator, I want to approach him. So I searched you out on LinkedIn and Facebook, I thought. So I followed this Facebook page and I went back to that when I was thinking, well, maybe I should consider it. And I saw messages about, oh, so young and so, you know, RIP, and like,
oh dear.
So the guy I wanted to narrate the audiobook passed away. That's a bummer. And then I got that message on LinkedIn. People, same name, same kind of voiceover kind of stuff, but you survived.
I did. Hopefully thrive at some point. That'll be great.
Yeah.
That's a crazy story. That's amazing.
And I'm going to write a blog post about it. It's here soon when I get a chance.